At Lowe's, our members get more. With the My Lowe's Rewards programs, you can shop member-only deals for your home and business every week. Plus, members earn points on eligible purchases. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, I'm not a big fan of men wearing flip-flops if they're not at a pool or the beach. It's just kind of my rule. I don't want to see a lot of man toes. But this guy takes it to a whole new level. Charles Gallagher, a bank robbery in flip-flops. That's right. But he hit his cash in a Maserati. So Charles Gallagher is a 66-year-old Destin resident, was arrested for allegedly robbing a Truist bank using a note to demand cash. He should just put his man toes up on the teller's counter. They would have given him anything he wanted. Authorities found Gallagher's black 2017 Maserati with concealed identifiers along with cash, a surgical mask, and glasses. He's probably one of those people that believe in mask mandates. Gallagher, who has been experiencing financial difficulties, faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted of the robbery charges. I don't know if they let you wear flip-flops in prison. I just don't know. They should, certainly for the showers, because it's probably disgusting, the floors. Where's the beef? Florida man was accused of stealing nearly $600 of meat from Publix in Fort Myers, Florida. Crime Stoppers of Southwest Florida is asking for help locating a man accused of stealing $600 of meat products from a supermarket. That's a lot of beef. That's a lot of meat. But then again, in this economy, it's really not. It's like four hamburgers, a pack of hot dogs, and maybe a rack of lamb. That's probably all he really took if you think about it. And then there's this guy. This Florida man is accused of pouring Pepsi and cleaning spray on women. He's found himself behind bars after he allegedly poured Pepsi and a cleaning spray on a woman. I wonder which one has more chemicals in it. Just curious. Antonio Acosta, 47 years old, was arrested and charged with felony battery after the incident that happened in Lake Panofsky. I'm probably not saying that right. On July 5th, according to an arrest affidavit from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Just after 7 p.m., deputies responded to a home and met the female victim who said Acosta had poured Pepsi and a cleaning agent on her. Now, this guy's still not as bad as CNN's Jim Acosta, for the record, just saying. The woman added that they got into a verbal altercation and as a result made a bed on the floor with pillows and blankets. He smashed a small table, then poured the liquids on her. Deputies said they found an empty Pepsi bottle and empty generic spray bottle with no label with a very small amount of pink liquid in the bottle. I don't know exactly what the substance was. It might just have been some sort of cleaning agent or something. But nevertheless, he was released, and this will shock you, arrested 2 days later for violating a no-contact order. So he's currently being held without bond, according to online jail records. So excellent. And then a Florida woman was arrested after throwing a single piece of paper at a parent. A single piece of paper. I don't know why, but just – I don't know really what one single piece of paper is going to do. It's a road rage incident. Maybe she thought she was going to give somebody a paper cut. I'm not quite sure. But she was charged with burglary and assault and battery, and it was in a parking lot. And she came up behind her, and she threw a piece of paper, a single piece of paper. Oh, and an empty backpack. All right. So there you go. Got that, too.
Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Hey, so we quickly want to touch on something serious. We talked about it when it came out, but wow, that commercial with Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg for Stand Up to All Hate has really stuck with me. Those two just like having it out with each other and telling each other why they hate each other and all the reasons, you're just like, wow, this is what most hate is based off of. Fear, insecurity, and jealousy. It's really just got to stop. Too many people from too many different groups are facing too much hate in our country, and especially online. So join me in standing up to all hate. If you see it, speak up, call it out. Use one of the most powerful tools there is in this fight, your voice. You can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate or show your support by posting the blue square emoji and using the hashtag Stand Up To All Hate.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Mel Gibson, the actor, who is now the head of the President's Commission on Hollywood. It's like Mel Gibson and Sylvester Stallone. Mel Gibson is barred from owning a firearm. And this woman at the Department of Justice, her name was Elizabeth Oyer, former public defender, was appointed as the Justice Department's pardon attorney in April of 2022 under Obama, says she was fired last Friday because she refused to sign off on a recommendation to restore Mel Gibson's gun rights. This is from Reason.com. The movie star and director who supported Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential election was designated as one of the administration's three ambassadors to Hollywood, along with John Voight and Sylvester Stallone. Now, Mel Gibson lost the right to own firearms because of a misdemeanor domestic violence conviction. Now, the pardon attorney who resigned presented the episode as a conflict between public safety and political favoritism. New York Times framed the story the exact same way. But the incident also illustrates how difficult it is for people who've lost their Second Amendment rights as a result of criminal convictions, a category that includes, theoretically, the president himself, to regain those rights even when there are no grounds to think they pose a threat to public safety. So this was back in March of 2011. You know, Gibson pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor battery charge involving his girlfriend, got 36 months of probation, and the deal allowed him to avoid jail time, but his plea triggered an ancillary penalty under 18 U.S.C. 922G9, which makes it a felony for anyone who has been convicted in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence to receive or possess a firearm. A lifetime ban. Now, those who advocate for this turn around and go, well, that's because all these domestic abusers are going to go out and get a firearm and kill their exes the minute that they have the chance to do so. Well, that's stupid. There's no evidence to point to that. There's no evidence to say Mel Gibson or any of the other people are dangerous. But if that's the case, there's lots of ways to kill somebody. You don't just need a gun. It's not like without guns, nobody ever kills anybody. People have lots of methods to kill somebody. If they really want to kill somebody, not being able to legally purchase a firearm is certainly not going to stop them, because they could also, wait for it, illegally buy a firearm in this country. As Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett noted in an opinion she wrote, as an appeals court judge, the constitutionality of the latter prohibition is doubtful. Barrett dissented from a 2019 decision in which the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit upheld the application of that section to a manufacturer of therapeutic shoes and footwear inserts who had pleaded guilty to mail fraud. Mail fraud. You can never have a gun again because you pled guilty to mail fraud. History demonstrates that legislatures have the power to prohibit dangerous people from possessing guns, she wrote, but that power extends only to people who are dangerous. Now, I don't know what it means to be a dangerous person. I mean, theoretically, we're all dangerous, right? Theoretically, anybody can be dangerous. So you're probably talking about somebody who's imminently dangerous. Like somebody you have to really worry about in the moment. I mean, I could be dangerous 5 minutes from now. Who the hell knows? Depends on my mood. But I'm obviously not going to be a violent person. So then again, define dangerous. What do you mean by that? You know, what do you mean by dangerous? The Supreme Court's 2022 decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin added heft to that argument by clarifying that gun control laws must be consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation when they impinge on conduct covered by the plain text of the Second Amendment. 2023, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled that Section 922G, this is the one that keeps Mel Gibson from having a gun and millions like him, failed that test as applied to Brian Range, a Pennsylvania man who pleaded guilty to food stamp fraud. Look, I'm no fan of food stamp fraud, but like, come on. You're not going to let the guy ever have his Second Amendment rights back because of food stamp fraud? Stop. Based on similar reasoning, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit last year overturned that Section 992G conviction of Stephen Duarte, a California man who had lost his gun rights because of a nonviolent criminal record. Without such judicial intervention, though, prohibited persons like these have little recourse. They theoretically can ask the Attorney General to restore their Second Amendment rights. The Attorney General has that discretion to do so, but it's a whole big thing. It's a whole big to do, and good luck with that. And then that responsibility has also been delegated to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which Congress has barred from considering such applications. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I love that. One of my favorite T-shirts is ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Should be a convenience store, not a government agency. Although federal law provides a means for the relief of firearms disabilities, ATF's annual appropriation since October of 1992 has prohibited the expending of any funds to investigate or act upon applications for relief from federal firearms disabilities submitted by individuals. As long as this provision is included in current ATF appropriations, ATF cannot act upon applications for relief from federal firearms disabilities submitted by individuals. That's a whole lot of mumbo jumbo. Translation is, you're screwed. If the ATF cannot act on such applications, can people with disqualifying criminal records seek relief in federal court? No. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled in the 2002 case United States v. Bean. So what do you do? You got nothing. You got nothing. You're just screwed because you made a mistake. You did something wrong for the rest of your life. So in this case, this woman, this pardon attorney, going back to this, said she was working, she was assigned to a working group charged with identifying people who deserve to have their Second Amendment rights restored despite criminal records that made it illegal for them to own guns. It was an unusual assignment for the Office of the Pardon Attorney, which typically handles requests for clemency and recommends candidates for pardons or commutations. And she didn't want to do it because she didn't believe that anybody should get their gun rights back. Well, why not? Because lefties believe that if there's any possibility they have of keeping you from ever being able to own a gun, they should immediately seize it and take it and be done with it. Because now you're one more person that they can keep unarmed in this country, legally, of course. So that doesn't surprise me in the least. But Mel Gibson and many others like him are not dangerous people. The article says, while the loss of that right might not matter much to someone with armed taxpayer-funded protection like these judges and these politicians and everybody else, the same cannot be said of ordinary people who are legally barred from possessing firearms, even though they have never done anything to suggest they are inclined to violence. And that is the problem with this situation.
It's our friends over at Superbeats, the Super Barine product from the people who make the Super Beats hard shoes. And there are other, there are beat brands out there, but the only one that I know puts the experience and the science and everything else behind it is Super Beats, which is why I, you know, prefer them over everybody else. They have the hard shoes, but they also have this Super Barine, which is a plant-based supplement. And it's formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and also helps to support blood sugar levels. It is nearly three times more effective than your diet and exercise alone. These are real results. It's super convenient and they're clinically researched. It's used by doctors from the makers of the Super Beats hard shoes. So they have them now at the Sam's Club. So if you go into Sam's Club, you can save not only on the Super Pete's Heart Chews, but you can also save on the Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Hey, so we quickly want to touch on something serious. We talked about it when it came out, but wow, that commercial with Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg for Stand Up to All Hate has really stuck with me. Those two just like having it out with each other and telling each other why they hate each other and all the reasons, you're just like, wow, this is what most hate is based off of. Fear, insecurity, and jealousy. It's really just gotta stop. Too many people from too many different groups are facing too much hate in our country, and especially online. So join me in standing up to all hate. If you see it, speak up, call it out. Use one of the most powerful tools there is in this fight, your voice. You can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate or show your support by posting the blue square emoji and using the hashtag Stand Up To All Hate.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff Podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a UN judge and a one-time Columbia University human rights fellow has been found guilty of, wait for it, slavery. That's right. United Nations judge convicted on Thursday of trafficking a young woman to the United Kingdom and forcing her to work as a slave. A Ugandan judge, Lydia Mugambe, 49 years old, found guilty of human trafficking and slavery. You just kind of don't hear that every day. A UCF fraternity allegedly hit their pledges with cars in a hazing incident, police say. Sigma Chi at University of Central Florida, they were hitting their pledges with cars. It just reminds me of that scene in Animal House where they go, they can't do that to our pledges. Yeah, only we can do that to our pledges. Hazing's no joke. Somebody broke a shoulder bone or something like that. So that house will probably get kicked off campus, I would imagine. Warren Buffett's latest move is sending an ominous warning about the state of the housing market. We still are at a time right now where there's just not enough inventory in the market and people that want to buy houses can't buy houses. But Warren Buffett is likely selling his real estate empire. He has a big brokerage and it is now being sold. Compass, the largest real estate brokerage in the country, is in advanced talks to acquire Berkshire Hathaway's Home Services of America. Compass is full disclosure, my wife used to work for them. They're a very up-and-coming company. But the fact that Buffett is getting out of the real estate business probably says a lot more than you think. I know a lot of people who were agents, my wife being one of them, who just decided that they wanted to get out of it. So that's very interesting. And speaking of the housing market, if you were looking to buy a house in New Jersey, it might be a good time for you because they keep having all these bottles of whiskey still washing up on the shore. It sounds like I talked about this yesterday and it happened in another story today. Whiskey bottles believed to be from the Prohibition era washing up on the Jersey Shore. This stuff's worth a ton of cash, by the way. This is worth a lot of money. If you're lucky enough to get your hands on this stuff, drink it, then refill it with iced tea, and then try to sell it. I'm kidding, but no, this is a lot of stuff. And the other question, too, that some people are wondering regarding all this is whether or not there's going to be a situation where in Robert F. Kennedy's world, will people start having soda being stored up? So like, you'll come back and find a 2025 vintage bottle of Mountain Dew. Is that's going to probably wind up becoming illegal if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has his way. Well, I don't know if he really will ban soda, but certainly a lot of people are trying to stay away from drinking all that stuff. And you know, the other thing too is that there's a new thing now with cloning of key fobs. So high-tech car thieves are cloning key fobs to steal newer vehicles. Remember in the old days, you used to get the club put on your steering wheel so that they couldn't drive. Well, those days are gone. And then they would try to get your keys and copy them. Well, what's happening right now is that people are going in, they're taking those little key fobs that you give, they're getting them copied, and then using them to steal cars. I know. It's very high tech, so just be careful about that. And many times this often happens, believe it or not, when you drop your car off at the valet. So there's that. And finally, if you're wondering about the new Superman trailer, they're saying April 1st. It'll be unveiled at Comic-Con. I personally am looking forward to that because, well, not only am I a nerd, but my son and I bond over superhero movies. And I've been disappointed with everything Marvel's put out in the last several years. So I've got, I'm hoping. Nobody's ever going to top Christopher Reeve. He was the GOAT. He was the greatest. He really, really was. But I got high hopes for this anyway. The president is going to speak at 3 o'clock today at the United States Department of Justice, joined with the Attorney General and Pam Bondi. I don't know if the president will address or they will address the recent swatting incidents that have happened to conservatives across the country. I opened the show with that today. They will talk about sanctuary cities, though. And I have a sense that the big part of what they're going to talk about is new ways to go after sanctuary cities. So what is a sanctuary city in America? A sanctuary city, as you know, is when the local law enforcement does not cooperate with the feds when it comes to criminals in their jail. And so you're talking about somebody who's in the system, somebody who's in jail, somebody who's actually literally a criminal arrested, and that's how ICE knows the person's there. ICE doesn't have ESP. If the cops in Boston pick up somebody, he's entered into the system, and that person is on a detainer list. It gets flagged by ICE. ICE calls up the local jail, the sheriff, whoever, and says, hey, we want to come pick this guy up. In a sanctuary city, they hang up the phone. And why would you do that? Why would you want to keep bad guys and put them back on your streets? I don't understand. Nobody understands that. I think by implying sanctuary, you think of the old days when you used to run into a church, you know, get sanctuary or something like that. We're not talking about people that are not bothering anybody, just going about their day, minding their own business. Or as Representative Jasmine Crockett put it, you know, picking crops and cleaning hotel rooms. Well, that's what she said. No, that's what Democrat Representative Jasmine Crockett said. You don't believe me? Well, here's the audio of that. Cut 26.
How many of you are sending your kids to college to go and work on them? Okay, well, guess who is working the farms? So that you can afford your food.
So that you can have food.
Now, how many of you are looking to send your kids into hospitality after this college education so that they can go and make the beds at the hotels? How many of you are planning to send your kids to college? Because that's what we do here. We send everybody to college. How many of you are planning to send your kids to college so that they can then go and build these houses? So the reality is that so long as we live in a capitalist society, there's always going to be someone or a group of people that will do work that some of the rest of y'all don't want to do.
First of all, beyond the fact that that's just racist in general and stereotypical, it's also so insulting to working class people in this country who actually do build houses. There's a lot of them that build houses. And there's a lot of working class people in this country that, yes, clean hotel rooms. I have news for you, but if you live in, say, the state of Hawaii, all right, one of the most expensive states to live in the country, if not the most expensive, you work at a resort. That's their primary industry in Hawaii is tourism. So yeah, the people that clean rooms in Hawaii are citizens of the United States of America who happen to live in and probably can't afford anymore to live in that state. But that's where they work. They work in that industry. But leaving all that aside, it shows you how also out of touch the left is when they talk about, yeah, how many of y'all send your kids to college? First of all, she doesn't actually talk like that. That's not her real accent. She puts on a fake accent, Jasmine Crockett, to sound real in the streets or whatever. But how many of y'all send your kids to college? See, it's that elitism again. You're sending your kids to college so they don't have to do anything with their hands. Pick crops. You know, they're called, people that pick crops are called farmers. They're called farmers. And there's a lot of people in this country who are farmers, work on farms. Believe it or not, they're American citizens. So there's that aspect of being completely out of touch with this. But the other point of this too is sanctuary cities are not about protecting people who are picking crops and cleaning hotel rooms. It's about protecting people who are in jail because that's how ICE knows that they're there. And so these sanctuary cities are providing cover. And we shouldn't even really call them sanctuary cities. It's a bad term. I don't like it. I think we should call them cities that are aiding and abetting fugitives of justice because that's what happens. Look, if a guy's wanted by the feds and he comes to your house and you give him safe harbor, and then the feds knock on your door, or call you and say, hey, by any chance, do you have whoever it is there? You know, just say, do you have Fred there? We have a warrant for Fred, and you say no, or you hang up the phone, or you refuse to cooperate, or you tell Fred how to sneak out of the house and go back in. You've now aided and abetted a fugitive. Can you explain to me how it's any different on the sanctuary, quote unquote, sanctuary city level? I understand that under our system of federalism, the state does not have to do the federal law enforcement function, and the feds don't have to do state law enforcement function. But at the same time, to give safe harbor to a criminal who's wanted by the feds, that's against the law. You can't do that. We can't do that. So how come the city of Boston or Philadelphia or Denver or wherever, how come they're allowed to do that and get away with it? I understand if they don't want to have their local cops deal with giving that person over to ICE. I understand that. But if ICE says, hey, we want this person, we're going to come pick him up. Even if they say, okay, well, we're releasing him tomorrow at 1 p.m. and then ICE shows up and they're waiting outside the courthouse at 1 p.m. or the jail cell, wherever it is. Yeah, that's understandable. That's what you would do. But in this case now, they just hang up the phone. They don't cooperate. So that's giving, you're aiding and abetting a fugitive of justice. So yeah, they need to go after these sanctuary cities. It's insane to me that they do this. And the people that live in the cities, guess what? They don't want these sanctuary cities. They don't want this. They want these criminals off their streets. They want the criminals off their streets.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Illegal border crossings plummet dramatically in Trump's first full month on the job. Another study proves a higher minimum wage is bad for businesses, customers, and employees. And Andrew Cuomo is officially running for mayor of New York City. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to the Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.